Okay, so Jesus, help. Amen. Okay, that's all you need sometimes. That's all you need. So today what I want to talk about is I want to talk about surrender, okay? And I know that the world is pretty crazy right now. You know, it literally is like what episode of EastEnders am I turning into this morning, you know? And, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on, even in people in the church as well. Like, there's a lot of people are going through things as well. So sometimes it's like, what do I actually do with this? Okay, what do I do with all this stuff? So I want to talk about surrender when it doesn't make sense. Okay. And you know what? It's pretty easy to say, like, Lord, have your way when things are already going your way, isn't it? But it's a totally different thing when life just has not turned out how you've expected. And, you know, maybe, you know, like the right doors haven't been opening for you. Maybe you're not getting answers to prayer that you want. You know, maybe you've just got a diagnosis, you know, maybe you got a phone call that just flipped your world 180. And, you know, in the world, you know, the Bible says that in this world you will have trouble. Okay, I'm not saying that prophetically. Okay, that's just what the Bible says. We all go through difficult times, you know. And, you know, whether you follow God or not, we're going to go through difficult seasons. And, but I think sometimes what happens is we have these moments where, you know, life doesn't make sense. And it's our desire for control that shows up the strongest. Because if I can control it, I can protect myself, right? And I'm not saying that control is a bad thing, okay? You know, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? And we all need self-control. The Lord has given us our lives and we have a responsibility to lead and steward ourselves well, okay? But it's whenever we start to believe that everything depends on us, that every outcome is dependent on us, then what happens is all the pressure is on us, okay? And then, you know what? It's this feeling of, you know what? It's up to me to build the right life. It's up to me to meet the right person. It's up to me to build the right career. It's up to me to raise my kids in the right way, you know? And when we move from responsibility to trying to control outcomes, what happens is we take on responsibility for only the Lord was meant to carry. And I'm the sort of person, I love progress. Like, I love growth. I hate staying stuck. It's like my number one bugbear. And sometimes for me, I just struggle with the why and the how of God's timing and things, you know? And I'm always like, Lord, just let me have a go working this out. Like, I've got a plan. I've got an idea. And, you know, I was thinking back to a time when I was starting to learn how to drive. Okay. And my mom was teaching me how to drive, and bless her, you know, I don't think she realized how nervous teaching me to drive was going to make her. And every time that we would get in the car, my mom turned into like a full blown prayer warrior intercessor. Okay. She was like, Lord, I ask for your divine protection in this car. She'd be like, Lord, cover this car with your angel. She'd be like, Lord, give Karen the wisdom and the eyes to see. And I'd be like, Mom, I'm in first gear. Like, you know, I'm like, what is this about? And we'd be driving down the road and my mom would be like, you know, watch that sheep. And I'm like, yeah, I see it 2 fields away, you know. And, you know, her goal in that situation was that she wanted to keep me safe and she wanted to teach me how to drive. Okay. And my goal was slightly different. My goal was I wanted the pedal hit the floor. Okay. I didn't want to be in first gear. I wanted to be in fifth gear. And, but the reality is you can't go from first gear to fifth gear without stalling. Okay. You have to go through the gears. Okay. And that's a little bit like life. Okay. And, we're going to put some verses on the screen. I have a lot of verses. If you're trying to follow in your Bible, forget about it. Jordan's got us. He's going to do all the slides. But this is from Psalm 127. And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And I love that verse. You know what? You can strive. You can control. You can try to manipulate outcomes the way that you want them to. And it might work for a season, but it's not going to have lasting fruit. Okay. And it's like me, like I just would have crashed that car. And, you know, the truth is that when we release the need to control everything and our need to understand everything, what happens is we actually make room for what God wants to do. And his plans are better than ours. Okay. I'm not saying that it's easier. I'm not saying that it's faster, but they are better. You know, and his word says that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And then, you know, I love this verse. It says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. You know, so you can breathe. Okay. You're not in a rush. And this morning, just what I want to do, and I'm not going to take that long, maybe like 25 minutes. I want to break down a verse from Proverbs, okay? And this is a verse that the Lord has just really given me for this season. Really well known, I'm sure for lots of you guys, is maybe up on a wall in your house. But it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight." And you know, the Lord's just really been saying to me, you know what, Karen, if you actually got hold of this, you know, not just hear it, but live it out, your life would radically change in how you would approach life and the peace and the trust that you have in me. So what we're going to do, we're going to break it down bit by bit. So I want to talk about trust in God, first of all, okay? And, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you were going through something and people sometimes say, and it's very well intentioned, just like, you just need to give it to God and pray about it and give it to God. And absolutely, you need to do that. But can I say that sometimes that's much easier said than done? And can I say sometimes that trust can take time to build? And, you know, it's not that we ever on this earth ever reach trust level 100. Okay, we're still walking out our journey. Okay, we're still, God is still teaching us in it. Okay. But I love what David says in the Psalms. And he says, "Even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And the thing about David is he doesn't start in confidence. Okay, it's in the valley, every step that he takes, that he builds trust in God. And you know what? God is the perfect father. Okay. And he set up this world that we would get to experience it in families. And one of the ways we understand his love is through that parent-child relationship. Okay. And it's not a perfect reflection. Okay. Because none of us are perfect. Okay. There's no such thing as perfect people. So there's no such thing as perfect parents. Okay. But and the truth is most of us are just trying to do the best we can every day, you know. But if you have a good parent, you know, a good parent will love their child for who they are. Okay. Not for anything they do, but simply because they belong to them. Okay. And they'll protect them, they'll correct them, they'll guide them, they'll love them. And in the same way, you know, God is described as our Father. You know, not distant, not detached, but deeply involved and present in our lives. And, you know, in my job, I work with kids. And, you know, when a kid comes in to see me, I very quickly get a sense of what that parent-child dynamic relationship is like. And one of the things they talk about in child development that's so important is like a secure attachment between the parent and the child. And if you have got a child that is securely attached, okay, you know what, you've got, there's, you know, sometimes they can be shy and not talk. Everyone's personalities are different, but there's a groundedness to them, okay? And you've got a child that, you know, has this sense that, you know what, relationships are dependable. You know, they're safe. My mum and dad show up for me, okay? I can try new things and I can fail because I know someone's going to be there for me. I am loved even if I mess up. And then on the flip side, sometimes I work with kids who have been through some things, okay? Maybe early life hasn't been that easy for them. And for whatever reason, they've had a parent that's maybe not been overly available to them. And the difference in an insecurely attached child is a child that's anxious, a child who doesn't want to try new things, a child who's afraid of failing, because if I fail, who's going to show up for me? And a child that often needs a lot of control in a situation, because if they can have control, that can make me feel safe, that can protect me. And you know, it got me thinking about my own relationship with God and what my attachment is like to him. And, you know, for me, sometimes I have to ask, where are the areas that I struggle to meet to trust God? And where are the areas that I am afraid that he's not going to show up for me? And where are the places in my life I'm like, God, I can't give this to you or let this go because I'm just afraid you're not going to be there for me. And but the truth is God's not like us. Okay. You know, and can I tell you the places that you need, that you just can't trust him in, are the places that he wants to bring healing to you. And you know what? Even the best parents mess up. But God is a consistently loving father. It says his mercies are new every day. And he's not like, why haven't you got it together yet? He's not like, I'm disappointed in you. Okay. You know, he knows why you do the things you do. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, he completely understands you. And I love that. Imagine someone who just completely understands you, gets every part of you. And, you know, in 2 Peter 3, it says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, but is patient with you. Okay. God's not in a rush with you. We're in a rush with us, but God's not in a rush with you. Okay? So the question is, how do we actually build trust with God? Okay? So the first thing is, you can't trust someone if you don't know them. Okay? And you know, for us, we need to spend time in the Word. We need to know the character of God. And the other thing is, we need to talk to Him. Okay? If you don't talk to someone, you don't know them, you can never trust them. Okay? And one of the things that God has just been working on in me is just this idea of daily surrender. Okay? And, you know, sometimes if I'm worried about something or I'm like, oh, I don't know about this, you know, what God's been challenging me about is like, ask Him, what would it look like to trust Him here? And, you know, for me, sometimes it's just like saying, hey, you know what? I know that the Lord works for the good of all of those who love Him. Okay? And I don't have to feel that, but I do have to say it. And, you know, Nikki was talking about this verse last week. It's in Romans 12, and it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And you know, it's easy to accept the wrong thoughts, because without intentional renewal, okay, your minds will always default from the truth. And just because it's familiar doesn't mean it's right. Okay, and we need to keep renewing our minds. Amen. Okay, I want to go to the next part of this verse. Okay, and this is lean not on your own understanding. And one of the things that God has really been teaching me this season is that joy is a form of not leaning on your own understanding. Okay, and I'm going to say, like, in the natural, I wouldn't say I'm particularly lean a lot towards joy. I probably lean towards what's realistic. Okay, but you know, God has been showing me that joy isn't just a feeling; it's actually a form of surrender. It's a way of saying, God, I trust you, even though things don't make sense. And, you know, one thing God's been really challenged me on is being intentional and celebrating other people's wins, okay? So somebody else, something goes really well for someone else, somebody achieves something, something goes really well. Lord is like, just get involved, so actually their joy becomes your joy. And can I tell you, this has actually just been one of the most fun things I've ever done. And I've just realized, like, we are meant to do joy together. You know, in 1 Corinthians, it says, if one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. And I'll tell you a quick story. I have a friend who, about 5 years ago, just went through some really, really hard things. She was just severely depressed. She was suicidal. To the point she was just like, you know what? There's just nothing left in this world for me. Like, I just don't want to do life anymore. I am just done. And, you know, she went through a lot of work on herself and a lot of therapy, lots of different things. And, you know, she's walking with the Lord now and she's doing so well. It's just been complete transformation in her life. And, you know, I was talking to her on the phone and she was saying, hey, just letting you know, I signed up to do this half marathon. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Great. Go you. Just let it pass by. And then whenever I hung up the phone, like, God just reminded me about this idea of celebrating other people's wins. And whenever I stopped to think about it, I was like, this is the girl that 5 years ago could not get out of her bed because she was so severely depressed. And now she's just going to go run a half marathon. And it just gets me. It's like, wouldn't it be the goodness of God that He would be like, I'm going to take someone who thinks there's nothing left in their life, that they're just done, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm not finished with you yet. The best is yet to come. Okay, there's still so much joy. There's still so much more I want to do in your life. And like, just wouldn't it be the goodness of God? And I actually, when I thought about it, I was like, I have to ring her back. So I rang her back and I was like, girl, that is amazing. I'm so proud of you. Well done. And she's like, it is amazing, isn't it? I'm like, yeah. And we're just hyping each other up, you know? And, you know, and I've so many other stories of that is over the last couple of months. You know, I have a friend who just found out she's going to have a little baby in a few months. And, you know, she was told by the doctors, this would probably never happen for her. You know, I have another friend who has just been saving for a house for years. She's finally just got a mortgage. She's just going to go build her dream house, you know? And I just love it. It's like every time I get to celebrate with someone, I get reminded again and again of God's promises. Okay. And just, you know, He knows exactly what we need and exactly what time. And let me tell you, if He can do it for someone else, He can do it for you. Amen. And yeah, I love this verse in Proverbs 11. And it says, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And the thing is, when you refresh others, something gets refreshed in you, okay? And their joy becomes your joy. And what I've just been learning is that joy is not this optional bonus in the Christian life, okay? It's actually a response to trust. And sometimes when we're lacking joy in our lives, it's actually a sign that maybe there's an area in our lives that we're struggling to trust God fully. And when following God feels difficult, joy acts as a spiritual strength. Okay, that's why the Bible links joy with strength and endurance. Okay, it's not linked with comfort or ease. Okay, and I want to look at a little passage from Habakkuk really quickly. And the Bible just gives us a really powerful image of this. And if you know the background in the story, the Babylonians, they're about to take over Judah. Okay, like things could not be worse. This is the worst of the worst. Okay, and this is what Habakkuk says. And he says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. I love this. Like, this is not just a bad day. This is a non-survivable season. Okay, there's no comeback from this. And yet what he's saying is, it's not that everything will be fine. He's saying that even if the world I know is ending, I'm still going to trust God. I'm still going to put my trust in him. And oftentimes, it's our conclusions about circumstances are almost always more important than the circumstances themselves. Okay. And that's not to ignore our feelings. Okay. Our feelings are good indicators of what's happening inside of us. But whenever truth leads, feelings are put back in their proper place. Okay. And, you know, there's something about praise offered in hardship that carries a special kind of weight. Okay. We call it a sacrifice of praise in the Bible. Okay. And a sacrifice of praise is one that stretches us and builds our spiritual muscles. Okay. And, you know, it often reminds me of going to gym, and I never want to go to the gym. Okay. And, you know, I'm always like, it's too tired. You know, it's just going to be too much effort. And the thing is, your feelings don't matter in the gym. Okay. If you still choose to go, okay, and lift the weights, you will always come out stronger regardless of how you felt going in, you know? And, you know, as we lift our thanksgiving to God, you know, declaring that he's still working, you know, it builds our faith muscles. It builds, we increase the capacity of what we have faith to believe for. And we position ourselves for breakthrough, okay? And praise that stretches us, it's like having a bit of defiance, okay? And I like a little bit of defiance, okay? I like this idea, you know what? The best is still yet to come and my circumstances don't get to dictate my future, okay? But I think sometimes, you know, one of the things that we can find it hard to trust God is that we know that God is a good God, but unfair things happen, you know? And I think a big part of this is, for me, I define good on what I think is fair, you know, and what makes sense to me. And sometimes I think, you know what, God, if God is good, he should do this, you know, and I make my understanding the standard. And, you know, I believe God is good, but I want his goodness to look a certain way, you know. And, you know, lean not on your understanding. You know, it doesn't mean stop thinking, okay? It means don't treat your perspective as final, okay? Don't assume your interpretation is complete, okay? And sometimes that takes a bit of humility, okay? And I was thinking back to around 2020, okay? And I know that wasn't a good year for most people, but for me, I found it a particularly really, really difficult year. And I remember at the time I was redeployed to go work in this COVID test center, and I spent my days wearing a hazmat suit and sticking swabs up people's noses. And I was like, Lord, this is not it. You know, this is not for me. OK, I'm like, you know, what is going on? And I remember at the time, like, you know, you weren't really supposed to meet people, but people really didn't want to meet me because of where I worked, and I was blacklisted. And you know, in the South, you could only go like 2 kilometers at a time. So I had the biggest cabin fever I'd ever had in my life. And I remember even where I was living at the time, it was a bit dodged, and like you couldn't even leave your bin outside or be gone. And I was like, Lord, can't even have a bin in this season, you know? And I remember like I would come home in the evenings from work, and I would just, I had nothing else to do, no one else to talk to half the time. So I would take out my Bible and I would take out my notebook, and, you know, I would just talk to God. I would write things and I would journal. And I still had that notebook of all the stuff that I wrote in. And, you know, I didn't even really want to talk to God, but no one else to talk to. That was kind of the vibe of how it was going, you know. And, you know, I can look back in 2020 and just be like, you know what, that year was a write-off. Like, I didn't do anything. I didn't achieve anything. I didn't go anywhere. But in the spiritual, that year was transformational for me. You know, the Lord did so much work on my life, and he had to build a lot of maturity in me, a lot of work on gratitude. you know, and he had did a lot on grounding my faith in him. And, you know, I think sometimes, like, I look back now, I wouldn't change that year for anything, you know. So I think it's important to know that something can feel bad, but still be a part of a process that produces good. And I think the world is just always going to feel a bit confusing to us because we're living inside the story, okay? And God sees the whole story. And I think it says it so well in 1 Corinthians, you know, it says, now all we can see of God is like a cloudy picture in a mirror. Later we will see him face to face. We don't know everything, but then we will, just as God completely understands us. So good. I'm going to go to the last part of this verse. I don't have much longer left. And it's about, he will make your path straight. Okay. And what I like about this is, you know, the Bible never denies that we'll have anxiety, never denies that we'll have burdens. You know, in 1 Peter 5, it actually says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And what I like about it, it never denies anxiety. It just repositions it. Okay. It's like, take what's crushing you and place it elsewhere, i.e. onto God. And I was saying this in the first service. This verse always reminds me of going shopping. I don't know why my brain thinks like this, but it just does. And whenever I go shop, whenever I go to Tesco, okay, I'm always a very optimistic shopper, okay? I'm like, just need a few bits. Don't need a trolley, I'm grand, okay? So the time I go back to the car, time I find a euro, come back in, I was like, no, be grand. And what inevitably always happens, I get halfway around Tesco, okay, and I have like bread under my chin and I have cereal under my arm, something slipping, I don't know what it is, but I'm holding tighter so nothing drops. And I come to the point, I'm just like, I can't handle this anymore. I've got to go get a trolley. So I go get a trolley. And the thing is, I put all the stuff in the trolley, okay? And the thing is, I still have the same amount of things. It still has the same weight. But now because I'm holding it differently, I can handle it, okay? And the thing is, whenever you hold on to a problem in your mind, that's what happens, okay? A problem will just go into a loop in your mind, okay? Fear feeds fear, okay? Your thoughts just get recycled. And, you know, your thoughts just have nowhere to go. You just get stuck. But the thing is, when you invite God into the situation, like, you've now got a new perspective, okay? Suddenly you've got the perspective of the God of the universe, the God who can do more than you can measurably think or imagine, amen? And, you know, trusting God is like that. It's just like that the weight shifts, even if the situation doesn't, okay? And the truth is, you know what? Our lives are designed for God's guidance. Okay, when you bring something to God, what happens is you get to open that area of your life to him, you know, and it's saying like, God, I'm going to work on this with you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do, but I release the outcomes of this responsibility to you. Okay, I'm only responsible for my next step. I'm not responsible for the whole outcome. Okay. And, you know, maybe just as we wrap this up today, maybe the worship team want to come back up as well. I think the question today is simple. It's like, what are you holding on to? Okay. Because surrender isn't about having it all figured out. Okay. It's about letting go of what never was yours to carry. And you know what? God knows your desires. It says he's a good God. Okay. You don't have to surrender the desires of your heart if he's put them there. Okay. But you might have to surrender how you thought it was going to happen in this season. And you know what? He's not asking you to control the outcome. He's asking you to trust him with him. And you know what? Maybe today that trust looks like choosing joy, even before you see the outcome. Maybe it's choosing to believe that he is good, that he is working, and that he is enough. Maybe it looks like bringing that thing to God in prayer, and it's being honest about it, and saying, God, this matters to me, but I trust you with it. Maybe it looks like releasing the outcome, even if you have to do it again tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. And maybe it looks like taking the next step that's in front of you without ever trying to control everything. So whatever that thing is for you, don't hold on to it this week, okay? Bring it to God, release it daily, and choose to trust him with what happens next. And you know, I just felt for someone, I was just thinking going over this last night, and I was just thinking for somebody, I just got this word, and the word is that it's going to be okay, okay? I don't know what okay looks like, but it's going to be okay. All right. Guys, why don't you stand with me just as we pray, just as we go into our last song. Yeah, Lord. God, we thank you that you are a good father. You're the perfect Father. God, you know every single thing about us. You know every single part of our heart. You know every part, the way that you've designed us, God. You know our every desire. Lord, we just bring you the areas that we're struggling to trust you with. Lord, just if there's areas that we need to bring to you that we need healing in, God, areas that we need peace instead of strife, Lord. Lord, you would just do that in us today, God. Lord, I just pray that you would fill us with your joy, okay? Not based on our circumstances, but based on who you are. God, we thank you that your plans are better than ours, okay? I just pray that we just know that so deeply today. And Lord, I just pray that more than anything, we would know that you hold us in the palm of your hand, Lord. And you have got this. And you've got us, Lord. And you're so good. Yeah, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We bless your name, Lord. Amen.